And he realized that he ticked twice a second. Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock. And he realized, I tick twice a second. That's 120 times a minute. That's 7,200 times an hour that I'm ticking. What? That's 172,800 ticks a day that I'm having to do. That's just too much. What, folks, that's 63,072,000 ticks in a year. And when I think about 10 years of this, that's 630,720,000 ticks. That's just too much for anybody. And so he felt exhausted thinking about all those ticks that he had to do, all that work, all that time. And he decided, I'll never make it. So he quit. He just quit. I can't do it. And so he just quit. In Matthew 6:34, Jesus said, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." When we worry about the future, we need to ask ourselves, how have I made it this far? Think about your past. When you worry about the future, think about your past. How have I made it this far? One tick at a time. One tick at a time. That's how you do it. Person has a bad habit. They've been trying to break that habit for a long time. They're struggling with it. And then they realize, you know, I just have to take it one moment at a time. Different organizations tell you to take it a day at a time. Somebody said you just have to take it an hour at a time. Well, folks, the reality is you just take it a moment at a time. If you try to bite off more than you can chew, you're going to get choked, aren't you? How did the buzzard eat the dead elephant? How did he manage to do it? He ate the whole thing. How did he manage to do it? One bite at a time. That's all. Now, that sounds pretty gross, doesn't it? Think about a buzzard eating a dead elephant. Yuck, right? But how does he do it? One bite at a time. That is the reality of the world we live in. That's the reality of our walk with Jesus. That's the reality of our Christian life. We should take everything one tick at a time. You see, tomorrow, there's a lot of problems waiting for us tomorrow. Someone once said, you're either in a crisis, coming out of a crisis, or about to go into a crisis. Crisis is part of life. There are times when we have struggles and trials, troubles, disappointments, setbacks, heartaches, heartbreaks, you name it. There are times when those things happen. They don't happen all the time for everybody. How could we make it if they did? But the reality is there are some troubles. And sometimes we get bothered about the future. You know, Henry and I talk about this church and the future of this church. And, you know, we're one heart attack away from having no elders. Did y'all know that? One heart attack. One car wreck, one stroke, one death away from having no elders at Tanner. Did y'all know that? I want you to think about that. I want you to be praying about that. Pray for us, and I know you do. We appreciate it. But pray for more elders. Pray that we'll have men that will step up and take on the mantle of leadership in this congregation and do the job that needs to be done. So, you know, we think about the future of this church, and Stan, in his Wednesday class, was talking about the future of this church and the makeup of the congregation and the makeup of our society around us. And yeah, there's problems, there's troubles. And we can see ourselves not being able to handle it all. We can very easily see ourselves not being able to manage it all. Whether you work on an assembly line, whether you're doing household chores, if you look at the repetition and the endlessness of your work, it can be overwhelming. It'll drive you crazy. How many dishes have you washed? How many beds have you made? How many times have you mowed the lawn? How many times have you done laundry? How many times have you fixed that widget or whatever it is that keeps breaking down? How many times have you done it? And you look at all the times you're going to have to do it again, and it can make you really sad. And people in and out of Christ have this same dilemma. Many folks can't seem to get through the day without a drink or without three or four pills or some other aid to help them because they're so afraid of facing their future. And yet Jesus tells us in our text this evening, Matthew 6:34, that we need to be faithful under all circumstances. We need to be faithful regardless of what we're going through or what we fear we might end up going through. In his writing to the church, in Revelation 2, verses 9 through 10, Jesus said, "I know your works, your tribulation, your poverty, but you're rich. You're really rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer." Are you hearing what he's saying? Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. That's not a literal 10 days. That's for a set period of time. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Be faithful even if it costs you your life. We've heard this song. I don't know that we sing the song, "One Step at a Time." One step at a time, dear Savior. We sing that song sometimes here, I think. Have we sung it here? Pretty sure we have. Okay, all right. Well, you know, one line in that song is, "The flesh is so weak and hopeless." So weak and hopeless. "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." That's Matthew 26:41. As long as we continue to trust in our flesh, in our own strength, in our own ability, in our own coordination skills, in our own organizational skills, in our own efforts, in our own stamina, as long as we continue to trust in what we have or what we bring to the table, then we're going to continue to fail. We're going to continue to worry and be afraid. We've got to start walking by faith and not by sight. We have to do that. And so the admonition that we really have, and this is the only point I'm going to make tonight, we need to use the time that we've been given. Use the time that you have. I think about those of you in this audience that have lost a loved one, lost a mate. I think about you. I think about you a lot. I know that one day, you know, it's going to be mine or Faye's turn. I know that. I think about that too. And the older I get, the more I think about that. And I'm sure that those of you that still have your mate think about that as you look out at this wonderful church, at these wonderful ladies and gentlemen that have lost their mate, and you reflect upon their life and you think about your own life. It's easy for us to get, I don't know, sad, and depressed, and worried, anxious. It's easy for that to happen. But what we have to use is the time we have and make full use of it. The saddest thing I know is when people throw their lives away, just waste their life on foolish things, instead of on things that will truly last. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5:16, redeem the time because the days are evil. You're going to run out of opportunities. You're going to run out of time. Use the time that you have. Jesus said in essence the same thing, but he says a person cannot live by faith and spend his time counting the ticks. The ticks of the clock. You cannot spend your time
counting the ticks of the clock. That's what he's saying in Matthew 6, 33 and 34. And brethren, it's not the length of one's life that is the important thing. It's how he has spent the time that he's here that counts. I want you to look at Jesus' life. He lived on this earth 33 years. Methuselah lived 969 years. Jesus lived almost 30 times fewer than Methuselah did. Methuselah lived 30 times, almost 30 times longer than Jesus. And look at the difference in these two lives. It's not the length of the life. It's what you do with the life that matters. Someone once said, I am a steward of this moment right now. And if I waste it, I'll never get it back. I'm a steward of this moment right now. I'm not guaranteed another moment of time. I am not guaranteed another beat of my heart, another breath in my lungs. I'm not guaranteed another tick of the clock. I have what I have right now, and that is what I have. Jesus said in John 9, 4, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, for the night comes when no one can work. When no one can work. Folks, I want you to think about this. Think about how easy it is for folks to get distracted, for folks to be sidetracked. For instance, a man decides that he wants to reach out to his entire neighborhood. And he drives up and down one street and another and another and another. And he counts the houses, and there's 614 houses in his neighborhood. And he's thinking, I want to knock on every door. I want to talk to every person in the neighborhood. And then so he's gone through the street and he's counting the houses and he's starting to get really concerned. And a lump, you know, wells up in his throat and a tightness in his chest as he begins to think about walking from door to door, not talking to every one of these people. And he says, I just can't do that. And so he just gives up on it. Just gives up on it. Because he was, instead of focusing on doing one door and then doing another and then doing another, he tried to eat the elephant in one bite. He tried to eat the elephant in one bite. A church has plans. Their building is dilapidated. It's falling down around them, and they have plans. They don't have a lot of money, but they do have faith, or at least they think they do. And they make plans to relocate, to build another building in another spot, not too far away, but close enough that they're still in the same community, ministering to the same place, but trying to be in a more visible location or whatever. And they began to do it, and think about it, and talk about it, and wonder, how can we do this? And they look at the cost, and they say, no, that's not going to happen. And they just give up on it before they even look into it, before they really ever try. No, we can't afford that. Just throw away the idea. A lady is dealing with looking at the temptations in her life, what the Christian life requires, and as she weighs the temptations in her own life and the struggles that she's having, trying to overcome the temptations that she's facing, she finally concludes, I can't do it. It's just too hard. And she walks away from the Lord because she doesn't think she can make it her whole life as a faithful Christian. One tick at a time. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to use the time that God has given us, the time that we have, in order to be able to be faithful to the Lord. And like I said, there's going to be problems. There's going to be problems. The Lord said we would be hated by all for his name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Matthew 10, verse 22. You know, there's temptation, there is selfishness, there is indifference, there's trying to do good, and then there's doing good, and it can all be overwhelming. But we don't need to look at it as 63 million ticks in a year. We need to look at it one tick at a time, one moment at a time, one deed at a time, one breath at a time, one good work at a time, one kind word, one resisting of temptation, one time. Just resist it right now. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about later. Just right now. Focus on where you are right now. One tick at a time. Let's use the time that we've been given. If we sit and worry about 630,720,000 ticks in 10 years, we let more precious time pass and we do nothing. We let more precious souls pass into eternity unprepared to meet Jesus and we do nothing. You can be true to the Lord for a moment, just one moment, can't you? Can't you? Can you be true to Him for one moment? Dedicate yourself right now to one moment of faithfulness to God. And then when that moment passes, do it again. And then do it again. And spend your life doing that very thing. Are you a Christian? Are you faithful to your Lord? Take your life one day at a time. One moment at a time. One tick at a time. And serve the Lord while you can. If you're subject to His invitation, we invite and encourage you to come if you need to, as together we stand and sing.